We've got something new here at Country Bible Church. I thought I'd let everyone know. We have a prayer request box for anyone to put a request in. It's over there by Chris in the far corner. And you can also use it to remove someone from the prayer list. It seems like more people are putting prayers on there and forgetting to take them off. So I don't know how long to leave them on there. So if you do request someone to be on the prayer list, it'd be nice if you would let us know when to take them off. Anyway, it's over there by Chris. You might check it out. God has always demanded that we do things His way, and that includes worshiping Him. We can't just worship God willy-nilly in any fashion that we think is right. The first and foremost thing is that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To worship Him in spirit in the church age means that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that the only way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we'll have a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time, I want you to do an introspection of your soul. See if there's any sins lurking about. And then we just simply privately, inaudibly, name those to God the Father. And then we're set. We're ready for God's Word to have a mighty impact on us. So let's have a moment of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God and that we can always depend upon You. We live in a world that seems to be unraveling, and it's so great to know that You change not, nor does Your Word, and we can always depend upon it. We pray that You will help us this morning to focus our full attention upon Your Word, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles and open to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Some of you may be wondering, well, I thought we were in 1 Kings chapter 15. Well, we are, or we were, and we will be. But 2 Chronicles chapter 15 has information with regards to Asa, king of the southern kingdom, that we don't find in 1 Kings. We went over chapter 15, at least verses 1 through 7 last time. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there are two key verses that you need to zero in on. I want you to circle verse number 2 and verse number 7. Those are two key verses. Starting with verse 1, we'll just read verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with Him." Underline that phrase. Very important. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. And if you seek Him, He will let you find Him. We'll go into that more in a moment. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. You might jot down a few of these scriptures that I'm about to give you, because some might be confused, especially the last portion of this verse. If you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Well, we have in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 through 8, it says, "I will never fail you nor forsake you." In fact, that same phrase is given in several other verses. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, same thing. I will never fail you or forsake you. Some say I will never leave you or forsake you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Same phrase. I will never leave you or forsake you. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's repeated often. So we have God's Word, His guarantee that He will never leave us or forsake us. However, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, at the end of this verse, it says, He will forsake you if you forsake Him. There is no contradiction here. God never forsakes us. However, if we decide to do things our way, we ignore God and turn our back upon Him, then He will allow us to do that for our free will, our volition to operate. And He just steps back and says, okay, you want to do it your way, have at it. Now, in that sense, that is how He forsakes us. But we are never utterly forsaken by God. He will allow our volition to operate. But He will never forsake us. But He'll let us do things our way and have the resulting consequences. Next, look at verse 7. Excuse me. It's true that Asa did purge the land of many of the detestable things that were going on, and I would say it was about time. But verses 1 through 7, Azariah was giving him a pep talk. He was encouraging Asa. And the pivotal verse here is verse 7. He says, but you be strong and do not lose courage. This is something when you read the first chapter of Joshua, this is said over and over and over. Joshua is going to take the reins because Moses was not allowed to cross over the Jordan. And over, God told him, do not be afraid or lose courage. And be strong and do not lose courage. Now, there's the last part. Underline this phrase in this verse. For there is a reward for your work. There's two news flashes in this verse for many Christians. The first news flash is that God expects us to work. What? God expects us to work? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that God designed us. We were created unto good works. But then as we start to grow in the Word, we find out there are good works and then there are good works. You know what I'm talking about. There is human good and there is divine good. But we won't get that far into this. What I want you to understand is that it is legitimate. It is a legitimate motivation to work for God because you believe that He will take note of it and that it will be rewarded. It worked for King Asa. For look at verse 8. Now when Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet, spoke, he took courage and he removed the abominable idols, and it goes on. He did all these things. So those are the two things that I wanted to go back on and just highlight, two key verses. Now we'll go back just a little ways to chapter 14. This is of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 14 gives a little bit of introduction about King Asa. And I'm going to have you underline or put a circle around verse 7. Again, it's going to be verse 7. For he said to Judah, let us build these cities and surround them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. This is King Asa said this. He believes that the Lord was going to protect them, but he still had a standing arm and he still put walls around the cities. Notice that. But the next phrase is what I want you to underline and where we're going to expand on this morning. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought Him and He has given us rest on every side. That's what I want you to underline. That's what I want you to focus and meditate on for just a moment. So they built and prospered. The land was still theirs. Not because they were so brilliant. Not because they had such great city planners. Not because they did have walls around their cities. Not because they did have a standing army. The next verse says that there were 580,000 of them. Or 500,000, over 500, nearly 600,000 warriors. But that's not why the land was there. He says in this that they had the land, it's still theirs, because they sought the Lord their God. We have sought Him and He has given us rest on every side. One thing that must happen before someone is going to seek the Lord, and that is they have to believe that He can be found. In the age in which we live, especially in this what's called the postmodern age, where you have probably the majority of Christians today who believe that you can't know anything for certain. You can't even know if God exists. And if you are talking to a real dyed-in-the-wool postmodern, they'll tell you, I don't even know if I exist or not. Now, in that climate, it's easy to become confounded and discouraged. You see hundreds of religions. You see tons of denominations, and everyone seems to have their own particular brand. Well, that might be your truth, but it's not my truth. How many truths are there? And you may get to the point where you want to just throw your hands up. You say, well, the preacher's saying seek the Lord, but why should I seek Him? How am I going to find Him? There's people who are a lot smarter than me, have a lot more education. Even theologians can't even agree. So how am I supposed to know how to go about seeking the Lord? So you have to believe that He can be found. And we know for certain that He can be found because the Bible says so. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. That is a promise. God can be found. You have His Word on it. I want everyone to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Or you can look up here. But I want you to turn in your Bible. We need to do some marking in our Bible here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8 expands on what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29, 13. I hope you have wide margins in your Bible. I'm looking at some of your Bibles. Some of you have pretty big margins. That's good. If you don't have wide margins, be creative. Write in the margin you have and draw a little arrow over there. What I do sometimes is I'll put a little dot by a word, and in the margin I'll put a dot, put what that word means. Or if I already used a dot, I'll use a star. If I use a star, I'll use a box, whatever. Right by the words, that way you can expand on this. And don't think that you're going to remember what I'm telling you about this verse the next time you go to that verse. I doubt that you will. So write in your Bibles. It's not sacrilege. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask, and you'll note here in brackets, I have pray. And if you can see next to pray, I'll show you where it is right here. It says Pam. Now that doesn't mean that Pam is supposed to pray. Well, if we have any Pams out there, yeah, go ahead and pray. But that's not what this means. This is just acrostic, simply means it's a present active imperative. So it could be translated, keep on praying. You do the praying, and it's not a suggestion from God. It is an imperative. It is a command. It's a mandate. So asking is actually praying. So keep on asking. Keep on praying, and it shall be given to you. Seek. And under after seek, I means to learn doctrine. That's what you're doing. You're learning doctrine. And we have Pam again. We're not jumping on or piling on Pam here. Again, this is the same thing. It's a present active imperative. And it should be keep on seeking. You do it, and it's imperative. Keep on learning doctrine. And then we have the result. And you shall find. The third thing, knock. Knock means to apply doctrine. There's Pam again. Present active imperative. We have three present active imperatives in this verse. And then the result clause, and it shall be open to you. Ask means to pray. Seek means to learn doctrine. And apply the doctrine, and they're all in the present tense. We are to keep on doing these things, and it is imperative mood. So how does this link with Jeremiah 29:13? Well, Jeremiah gives us the promise, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The best thing to do, first of all, is to ask the Lord, do you really want to know God? Then go to Him and tell Him, Heavenly Father, I am confused. I want to know the truth. I want to know You. You ask the Lord, is that the end of it? Do you go back to your house and sit down and wait for an epiphany or for Jesus Christ to interrupt the commercial that interrupted your movie and give you a message? No. That's when the seeking comes. Seeking is in His Word. He reveals Himself in His Word. Then after you find that, then what do? You apply what you've learned. Verse number 8. For everyone who asks, here we have pray again, and this little symbol here, these letters, excuse me, where is it? Verse 8, here it is. For everyone who prays, this is a participle. It's a present active participle. All these things are present tense. You keep on doing it. You're not like the person that prays to God for something and they didn't get it right away. Well, that's it. I'm not asking anymore. If He's not going to hear my prayer, if He's not going to give me what I want right now, then just forget it. You keep on asking. That's what faith does. That's what trust is. You keep on doing it. Because you see, God has a timetable. And I know you have a timetable. I have a timetable. And our timetables might not jive. That's why we keep on asking. Keep on asking. So for everyone who asks means prays, keeps on praying, then they receive. What do they receive? They receive an answer. And here we have the present active indicative. You keep on asking, He keeps on answering. The indicative mood, that I on the end of that, PAI, present active indicative, means it's a reality. The mood. Relates the verb to reality, and the indicative mood means it's a reality. It's not subjunctive. It's not that, well, maybe He will. No, it's a reality. He will. So everyone who keeps on praying keeps on receiving an answer. And he who seeks, again, this is a participle, present active. It means those who keep on seeking, keep on taking in doctrine. The result, they find. They keep on finding. What do they find? They find wisdom. Isn't that what you'd like? Wouldn't you like to know God's final word on whatever issue you're dealing with? And to him who knocks, guess what this is? Present active participle again. Keeps on knocking. First, what do you do first? Seek. How often do you do it? You keep on doing it. Well, I'm sorry. In that verse you do. You first of all, you keep on praying. Then you keep on seeking, learning doctrine. Then you keep on applying what you've learned. That gets us to right here. Him who knocks, find doctrine. And then the last phrase, it says, it shall be opened. If you keep praying, keep asking, you keep seeking, and you keep applying, then we have something altogether different here. This is the FPI. I didn't say FBI, FPI. That's the future passive indicative. Everything in this verse up to this point was active voice. That's what you do. You're to keep on doing it. But when you keep on doing these things, you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on applying, you keep on receiving the answers, but then, as a final analogy, after you're applying all the what you've learned, then we have a future. You keep on doing this. In the future, passive voice, you're going to receive something. What is it? You're going to receive the solution. And this I right down here, the last little thing here, I don't know if y'all can see it, this I, that's the indicative mood. That's the mood of reality. So if you're out there and you're thinking, well, he says keep on seeking, but how do you start seeking? What does this say? What's the first thing on the list? Pray. Ask. That's the first thing. Ask. Do you think God wants you to know Him? Why do we have His Word if He didn't want us to know Him? Why did He give the Holy Spirit so that we can understand it? So these are the first things that we're to do. Now, we're focusing, just to keep us grounded, look back in your Bible at 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. The land is ours because what? We have sought the Lord our God. Then he says it again. We have sought Him, and He has given us rest on every side. What did they want? They wanted rest. They didn't want to be burdened with all of the rigors of war and so forth. So first of all we've seen so far is you can know the Lord if you want Him. You can find Him if you seek Him. But what did Jeremiah say? When you search for me with all your heart. You can't go in the yellow pages and, okay, I'll go to that church. And you go to church, that church, wherever it is, one Sunday, and you go and you hear some message and you didn't really get the information you wanted and say, well, I tried. When you search for Him with all your heart, it means consistency. So much in life depends on consistency, doesn't it? Okay, once you do that, then there are some promises that we have. Psalm 34, 9 through 10. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for to them that fear Him, that fear means to respect Him, there is no want. Turn your Bibles to this. We're going to be going all in our Bibles today. You can read this, but I want you to see this. I want you to circle this verse, at least the number of this verse. And when it says, there is no want. And that's a condition, isn't it? There's a condition. It's for saints. And it's for saints that fear Him or respect Him, respect His Word. And when you go through those imperative moods in the Bible and you take them seriously, then you're respecting God's authority. And if that's the case, go to Psalm 34:9, and I want you to underline, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. We'll just stop there for just a moment. What is this talking about? Some of you probably have already figured it out. It's talking about logistical grace. You're a child of God. It's talking about logistical grace, and it's also, as we will see, of course, every believer gets logistical grace, but for those that fear Him, they're going to get the desires of their heart. There is no want. They're going to get what they want. But they might not get it the way that they plan. That's the way God is. Man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. You want good things? What should you seek? The good things or seek the Lord? Psalm 37. We're right there close to it. Let's go to Psalm 37. By the way, Psalm 34 is one of my favorite psalms. I've got so many stars and circles and doodads and underlines and under it, I can't even hardly read it anymore. Psalm 37, 4 through 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. I don't think there's anyone here that isn't serious about the desires of their heart, are they? If we could take some type of survey, it would be interesting to see what the different desires of the heart may be. I can assure you, some of the desires of your heart probably just would not in any way float my boat. But then I'm sure that some of the desires of my heart wouldn't float your boat either. But whatever they are, whatever the desires of your heart, where do you go first? Where does it say? Delight yourself in the Lord. What do we have in verse 5? Commit your way to the Lord. These are imperative moves. That's where you start. See, people start at the wrong place. They have a desire, whatever it may be. You know what it is many times? The opposite sex. People who are not married want to be married. And so many people who are married don't want to be married. If the wannabe marriage would really get together and have a powwow with the married but don't want to be, there'd be a huge learning lesson there. But I'll just take that as an example. Most people, if that was your desire, they put their total focus on, where am I going to meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright? And they have the computer dating, or what are they? You put your name and picture on there and you put it out all over the world, and somebody's going to say, well, I think I'll try this guy or this woman or whatever. I don't know what they're called. What are they? Blogs? Or, I don't even know. MySpace. Okay. Well, that's okay. I mean, I'm not knocking that. I'm sure there are people who found each other this way. But this is my point. If you really want the desire of the heart, if you really want to get Mr. or Mrs. Wright for you, quit chasing after Mr. or Mrs. Wright and start seeking the Lord. And that goes for whatever your desire is, whatever it is in life. We spend so much time, essentially what we're saying, well, Lord, you know, I would get serious about seeking you, but you see, I'm seeking this over here. I've got to have this. And if I get this, maybe I'll give time to you later, but right now I'm into this. As if we know what we want more than the Lord does. I think this is a very interesting verse because it says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't even say that He's going to give you what you ask for. A lot of times we think we know what we want, and we really don't. God knows what we want. I don't remember the country western singer, but he says, thank the Lord for unanswered prayers. Who is that? Garth Brooks? Garth Brooks, yeah. Thank the Lord for unanswered prayers. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, we tell the Lord, this is what I want. This is it. The Lord goes deeper. He gives you what you really want. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is all these things? It's not your wish list. I bet a lot of you think it was your wish list. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's not what this is talking about. I'm sorry, it's just that was my best attempt. And don't ask me who's saying that. Who? Janice Johnson. Oh, wow. What'd you do at church today? Well, my preacher was singing Janice Joplin. I hope you get more out of this than that. All these things refers to what is really deep down in your soul. The things that really satisfy. What does it say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Psalm 84, 10 through 12. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand in the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Look at that. Stand at the threshold of my God. This would be the temple. David is saying, I would rather just be at the threshold. I couldn't even go inside, but I'd rather be right there at the threshold than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in Thee. I want you to turn to that verse and I want you to underline that phrase. How blessed is the man who trusts in Thee. Or you could underline, the Lord gives grace and glory, and no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. And by the way, how do you know how to walk uprightly? First of all, you pray. Then you seek. Then you apply. Psalm 84, 10 through 12. Now, everyone, please turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And sharpen your pencils. See, what we're looking at is King Asa realized that they sought after the Lord and the Lord gave them rest. They didn't seek after rest. They sought the Lord and He gave them rest. And why is this so hard for people to learn? And I'm counting myself, by the way, in that number. Why is it so hard? It's really a simple principle, isn't it? You seek the Lord and He's going to take care of you. That's what we've been looking at. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, which is doctrine. For let your heart keep my commandments. The commandments would be not just the Ten Commandments. is talking about the precepts, categories of doctrine. Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What is the they? Underline the they. The they is referring to the word, doctrines. The doctrines will add to you. Length of days and years of life, quality of life, and many times length of days. You know what? Well, the biggest killer today, they say, is stress. If you know how to put your burden on the Lord, if you know how to faith rest, if you know the spiritual dynamics of the church age, then you are going to have less stress than others. Adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. And you can learn how to deal with that stress, lengthen your days. But look at, I want you to underline the word peace. Peace. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom also means prosperity. It means well-being. And it means happiness. You can just shorten it and put plus H. So again, my son, do not forget my teaching, the doctrine, but let your heart keep my commandments, my precepts, categories of doctrine, for length of days and years of life and peace, well-being, prosperity, happiness, they, doctrines, will add to you. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Kindness is the grace in action. It's chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Bind them on your neck. Now, some think that this is referring to phylacteries. Y'all know what phylacteries are. Some of you do. If you want to know how that's, you spell phylacteries, it's P-H-Y-L-A-C-T-E-R-I-E-S. And one of the places they are found is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. They used to take scriptures and they would write it on some type of vellum or some animal skin or something. They'd roll it up and then they'd put it in a tube or something, some kind of little container. And they would wear it around their wrists. Or sometimes they would put it upon their head. They would have some kind of little band and they would have it here. Or sometimes they would put it around their neck and they would call phylacteries. That's not what this is talking about. At least in my opinion, it's not what it's talking about. Because when you see these phylacteries, they were doing it in order to impress other people. And you know that's that would be the outcome. If I said, if you're really a mature believer, you're going to have phylacteries and carry these verses around so that you won't forget them. Well, there'd be people walking in here with them, just tape all over them. Then somebody would come in with one this big around. He's got a whole scroll in there tied to his head or something. That's not what this is talking about. I think it's talking about the fact that when you have something that is really valuable, it's often put where? Around your neck. And one reason it's there is because you'll always have it with you. Something that is really valuable, you don't want to lose it. And often you wear it around your neck. Some of you ladies, I can see you have really pretty necklaces around your neck. So I think this verse is saying, do not let truth or let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. When you have it around your neck, it's because it is something of beauty. It's something that is valuable and it's always with you. But there's more here. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I want you to underline that portion. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And I want you to look up here. Do you see what appears to be a Z in the middle of that? I learned this as Operation Z. Like Zorro. Remember you all used to watch Zero? Zero. Zorro. Zorro was a zero compared to this. What I'm showing you is what this means in verse 3 where it says, write them on the tablet of your heart. How do you do that? Well, right now you're listening to the word taught by the pastor. That's the Logos. And because of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, it goes into your human spirit, your pneuma. And if you're not a believer, nothing that I'm saying is going to make any sense to you. Really, you're going to be dozing off or you're going to be going somewhere else in your mind because you don't have a human spirit. That's where the word goes first because that's where your relationship with God is. And it makes this information understandable because it transfers it down here to your mind. This spiritual information is called pneumatikos. Now, these are very specific words in the Greek that mean something. They mean something specific. So the word, when I speak, there's just vibrations going out there. Your ears pick them up. It goes through your mental ear and then it goes into your brain. Your brain processes all this. I mean, this in itself is a miracle, is it not? But this means nothing unless you have the Spirit and you have to be filled with the Spirit. That's why we rebound. We confess our sins to make sure we're filled with the Holy Spirit because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because He is our true mentor. He is our teacher. This is what's going on when I teach the Word. It goes down here into your nous, the mind. This is the Greek word, the nous. And it's known as gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis information. That means it's information you understand. The only reason that you are able to understand what I'm teaching today is because you are a believer, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and this process has already taken place. You're able to understand the full realm of doctrine, not based on your intelligence or your education or anything else. It's because it's grace, it's always grace. And any believer that has the mentality above whatever someone who is, I guess you would say, mentally handicapped today, they are able to understand because this happens. The Word goes in the Spirit into the mind. Information understood. Now, this information understood does not mean that you're going to remember it. This is short-term memory. However, this is when the real interesting thing takes place. If you believe it, if you accept it, then the Holy Spirit automatically takes that information that He allowed you to understand and He transfers it over here to your cardia, the heart. Your cardia is that dominant portion of your soul where all the norms and standards are. It's what makes up who you are, what you believe. So if what I'm teaching you today, let's say, are you a believer? Yes. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Can you understand it? Yes. It's in your news. But you say, I don't believe it. Good old brother so-and-so doesn't teach it that way. Then guess what? It'll never get to your heart. It will never change you. It will never go into your long-term memory. But if you do choose to believe what is taught, then it's transferred by the Holy Spirit over here to your heart, and it becomes epignosis knowledge. Epi meaning full, gnosis means knowledge, full knowledge. That's the knowledge that you can operate with. That's the knowledge that the Holy Spirit will go into your soul, into your brain, and pull out this memory that you have encoded into your brain at the right time. It'll come into your from your subconscious into your conscience, and then you can make the proper application. But he can't do that with gnosis information, only epignosis information. Now let me hasten to say, you can't feel this. Everybody wants to feel everything. You don't feel anything. I never felt it. Like so many things in the Christian life, you don't even know it occurs until somewhere along the line you're taught these things. And this takes place. It's in your heart. Now look at our verse 3 again. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your what? Heart. L-E-B. There it is in the Hebrew. Leib. There it is in the Greek. Cardia. Same thing. How do you write it on the table of your heart? You believe it. You take the word that is being taught to you, and when you believe it, it's there. Isn't it nice that we don't have to think about this? God has allowed us to our bodies to breathe without us thinking about it. Wasn't that nice of Him? I mean, some of you are in such deep concentration, you might just pass out right in the floor because you forgot to breathe if God didn't just automatically program you that way. Well, it's the same thing with this. We don't have to say, okay, now I understood what he said. Now I believe it. Now I got to transfer it over into my heart. If I don't remember to transfer it, then I came here and I concentrated, did all that for nothing. It's automatic. Isn't it great when you slow down and really look at the Scriptures and able to put the pieces together? You can start connecting the dots and all of a sudden, wow, look what's there. Or you might be one of these people, well, I've read the Bible 3 times all the way through. I've never even heard anybody say that. But I have a strong suspicion that those that do were just taking probably an exercise in speed reading, and you ask them what do you know about what you read? Sometimes it takes just slowing down and really looking at it. Verse 4. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. These are all conditional. You understand that. That is, if you do not forget the teaching, you keep the commandments, and you don't let kindness, chesed, grace in action, our truth, leave you. If that's the case, then you will find favor, which is grace, and good repute in the sight of God and man. This good repute in the Hebrew is sakal. Sakel. And it means insight, understanding. That's what you want. You want to understand. You want wisdom. And then I cannot end. We're just about the end of our time here. I can't go on without giving you at least verse 5 and 6. Pardon? Oh, it's still up there. Oh, thank you. Could y'all, what happened when I had that on? Oh, I see. You mean y'all can't read this? Okay. Thank you, Mary. All right. Now, verse 5 and 6. For the pièce de résistance. My French lacks a lot. But anyway, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Your heart. Cardia or lab. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I like that. That is Yada in the Hebrew. It means come to know Him. And He will make your path straight. What does it mean to make your path straight? Well, I've got to show you this word anyway. The word for straight is Yashar. Y-A-S-H-A-R. And it means to be cleared or unobstructed. Do you get the gist of that now? Look at it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that is a cal active imperative. That means it's a command. And don't lean on your own understanding. That's what we want to do, isn't it? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Human insights are never enough. And then you have the result clause, and He will make your path straight. In other words, He will clear out the obstacles. You trust in the Lord. And all the things, all the obstacles that Satan and people and your enemies are throwing in your way, that always all this debris in your way, what is our job? Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord. And what is He going to do? He's going to clear the way for you. You go right through that. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's always fallible. That's one of my... Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, not some of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Come to know Him is what that word means. But yada. And He will clear the way. He will move the obstructions. Do we have a great God or what? It seems so easy. The whole idea is for us to trust the Lord, and the Lord is going to take care of it. We are to seek the Lord, and He is to take care of all the rest. I'd say that's a deal. Wouldn't you? And yet you and I are prone to trust what? Our own understanding. However, when Asa became king, they sought after the Lord, and He gave them rest on every side. I'd like everyone to please bow their head and close their eyes at this time. I don't know everyone here. There may be unbelievers here, so this last few moments are for those who may not have put their faith alone in Christ alone. If you are here and you're an unbeliever, you may be very confused. You may think this is too difficult. Well, let me give you the good news. There's something that's very easy. There's a gift that God wants to give you. It's the gift of eternal life. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything other than receive it. And the way that you receive it is by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him and His work rather than your own works or someone else's works or some idol or some false god or anything else. And you can do it right now in a moment of time. You can inaudibly form the words in your own thoughts. This is the moment that I believe in Jesus Christ. And in that moment, you are born again. You are regenerated. You become a royal family member of God, and your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. Not because of who and what you are, but because of who and what God is. That's the kind of God we have. Then you can start on a path and get to know Him. You can seek Him. And you have His word guaranteed that you will find Him. He will reveal Himself to you. Now, Father, we thank You for this time that we have to fellowship in Your word. It lifts us up out of the miry clay and puts our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the living word and the Bible, the written word. We are so thankful for who and what You are. And we pray that You will help us to meditate upon these things. Help us to seek You. Help us to ask You for what we really desire. And then help us to wait. We have complete and utter confidence that You hear our prayer. And in Your good time, in Your perfect way, You will give us the desires of our heart. And we pray this in the name that is above all names, Yeshua Meshach, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray.